Blog Talk Radio.
They see color, but we don't. They see humanity, they don't. They have culture, but we don't. They say justice, they don't. They say self-sustained, but we don't. They have equality, they don't. They say white, but we won't. Never ask our position, but already belongs. Keep pushing, keep moving, keep creating. He's never nothing. Stay strong, brother. Stay strong, sister. I was Blog Talk Radio. Out there, how's everybody doing? One of the things I like about doing this show is I have no clue on what I'm really going to talk about. What I'm really going to say is completely unscripted. You'd be amazed at the things I'm doing before I even go right onto the air. Like, I could be out doing the yard or cutting some trims on the tree, trimming the tree, and walk right in and just get right on here with y'all. But I'm wanting to build an alternative format for us to where we're just not always on Facebook or social media sites. And it's hard for me to connect with all my people because everyone's so busy. Everyone's moving in separate directions. It's hard to go out to the street like I used to do with bullhorns and going into parks, speaking, and handing out flyers when I can reach everyone just by this format or the format of touching a button, send on Facebook or other social media sites, Twitter and things of that nature. But I hope everybody's well. I hope everybody found time to come and join me to break bread. And I want this to be respectful and courteous, and we just, you know, I want everything to go in a manner to where we're all adults. You know, the lounge for the grown and intellectual. To where even if we have differences of opinions and ideologies, we can still be respectful to this, discuss our views. Or, you know what I mean? I'm personally, I know this is a very common phrase used to agree to disagree. Unfortunately, I don't agree to disagree if I know for a fact someone's wrong. And I don't expect them to agree to disagree with me if I know for a fact that I'm wrong. What we will do is just I'm going to keep talking it out until we come to the conclusion of facts. Nothing. I do not negotiate facts for anyone for any reason. I don't care if it's my mother. I cannot allow the truth to be bent. I can't allow our analytical thought process to be controlled. Freedom is truth, and that's the only way. I like to let y'all know that my beloved sister Kim, aka K Mac, is on the boards, and say hi to everybody, Kim.
Hi, everybody.
So, do we have anyone? Is it just me and you right now?
No, you have several callers. I think they're just listening right now.
Okay, that's good. I didn't want to talk to myself because if it was just me and you, I was going to ask you if you had a recipe for bean pie. Somebody mentioned that, and I'm wondering, does the Nation of Islam keep their recipe for bean pie a secret? Because I got to admit, I love those things. Do you like them?
No, not really, but you do have a caller.
Oh, I didn't even get to. Okay, that's cool.
Area code 865. Your mic is live.
Greetings. If it's Brother Mike Howard and I believe he said Sister Kim, salutations to you both.
Thank you, sister. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. This is Sister Latita Jackson.
Peace and blessings, sister. Glad to hear your voice.
Many thanks. I don't have the recipe to the bean pie, but I do appreciate it, though. So,
I mean, this wasn't going to be the topic. It was just me just talking off the head, just having a conversation with Kim. I didn't know if anyone was listening in. Well, for me, this is all new to me, so I have no clue as to what I'm doing, and I can't see if anyone's listening or anything. Kim has the control of all that. So I'll just, if I know there's no one listening or anyone on, because, you know, not many people know me. You know, any work I've ever done, it's always been local, like in the city that I'm in. I don't travel and do. I wish I could, but being that I also have a family and responsibilities, it's real hard for me. So I do what I can. So Kim gave me this format for my voice to be heard rather than just me writing posts, rather than me just going out in my own streets locally doing things. Plus, I moved to a whole nother state to where I know no one. So this is a great opportunity for me to be heard on another format. But, yeah, I was just mentioning bean pies just for sake of conversation. Any old thing comes to my head. Because before I came on the air, somebody was talking about the bean pies. And I was like, yeah, I wonder how they do make them. But I know there's a recipe. Somebody shared it on YouTube. But you never know if that's the real recipe. They probably won't end up tasting like theirs.
Right. Now that's true. They put their own love in it, as my grandmother would say. But I was interested when I saw it. I was like, oh, that's Brother Mike Howard. That's my Facebook brother. I refer to my Facebook family as my digitized brothers and sisters because I've not ever physically spoken. This is the first time I've physically spoken to you, acknowledging existence, if you will. And I appreciate what you do, Parlay, put out there in Facebook. You and I, believe it or not, do the same thing in different states. And so you are appreciated where you are doing what you do. You are more than just a Facebook warrior. Some are just Facebook warriors, and I appreciate them. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate them, too.
Right, but we all play our roles.
Yes, we all do.
Right, it's a format, it's a source. Like, you have many sources. A warrior doesn't just go around with one weapon. He has many sources. So I use it as one of my sources, and I found it to be more effective than going around doing lectures. I've done videos, and I get 1,000 views. 7,000 views on one video, but if I go and I rent a venue and I get seats and pay for all that, I wouldn't pack in 7,000 people. So I got 7,000 views for free. So I tell everyone, it's always good to use whatever format we have at our accessibilities, because it's rough out here. It's rough out here to get this truth out. Because go ahead, sister. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was disagreeing with you. It really is. I did the same thing. Blog Talk, local speaking. I also started a nonprofit for 4 years, helping teaching self-love, self-worth, and self-sufficiency to our young brothers and sisters. So it is a challenge, but we must utilize all tools that are available, be it social media, word of mouth, which is, you know, the grassroots effort, or just whatever locality we can secure to get anything out there. So I was just in agreement with you on that.
And I definitely appreciate you. I appreciate everything you're doing. No one really knows.
You know who I am?
I talk to so many people, but if you inbox me, I'll know exactly who you are. But off the top of my head, the problem I have is I'm not versed in many languages, and we have so many names that I can't pronounce some of them. So if I give you a nickname, I'll know who you are. My problem is, and I don't want to seem ignorant, but really, there's some real names that I can't pronounce. Or, like, it took me a while for me to remember Brother Infame's name, and it's pretty simple. But when you read it, MFL, you know what I mean? You're like, what? But anyway, yeah, I'll probably know you if you remind me of something that we talked about or shared together. But if you ever see me on Facebook, you know, people come at me so many different angles, and I got 5,000 friends, and my friends list is pretty much like the stock market. It's up and down constantly. Like, someone inboxed me and said, well, your Facebook friends list is too full for me to join. I said, give it a minute. Somebody will unfriend me here in a second. And while we were talking, somebody unfriended me, like three of them. I said, I told you, it's just, I mean, when you speak with the voice that I speak with, you're not going to have friends. I like I tell everybody, I don't have a friends list. That's the term they use. I have my brothers and sisters, and my primary objective. This is what I really based myself down. This is what I don't condone any groups or organizations or movements at all. I just came to this realization for myself. This was what works for me. I primarily serve black women, nobody else. I don't serve black men. I don't serve black children. I don't serve nobody, whites, black. I don't care who they are, just the black woman. And I feel that with me doing that, my life has changed. Like, as long as I'm serving her, the kids automatically come in line. As long as I'm serving the black women, the brothers who understand that fight along with me, and we tend to get along better. Because I don't like being around men who, in the front, oh, I love the black women and all that, and then when we're alone or kicking it, they disrespect them. Like there's some code, like, oh, look at her, look at that, or, oh, this and that. I ain't going to use some of the languages they use, but it's all a facade to me. You either are or you aren't. And I don't do this for any favoritism. I don't do this to sleep. There's not a sleep with women or flirt with them. There's not a woman outside of my wife that could say I've ever came at them disrespectfully, trying to flirt with them, looking at them, doing all this, gawking. I don't do none of those things. My discipline is in my servitude, not in my want, in my flesh, in my lust, and all those things. I think that the whole solution to our problems is once we all learn to serve each other, the black man serving the black woman and the black woman being the reflection of him, of his servitude, and we all support each other in that manner, I think that everything will iron itself out. So my whole campaign strategy is to get every black man that I can encounter, I can come in touch with, to start serving the black woman. I have made many mistakes in my life, so I'm not judging any of them. I'm not throwing any of them under the bus. I don't care who you used to mess with, what you did. What you need to be doing now is all I ever focus on. Start loving her like we love ourselves. Start treating her like she is the essence of our future. Like you, like it's been said, and I say it in my own way, like you can teach a man, you can teach a boy to be a man, and he could be prosperous as a man. But if you teach a girl to be a woman, you're teaching a whole nation. And that's what we don't understand. And every time I go around and I'm seeing just, man, it's just amazing how incredible you are, how you guys just, women just endure, black women. I've never seen anyone get mistreated to such a degree. I mean, I've done so much research. I've done research because I'm not going to just do something without knowing what I'm talking about. And I have never heard of some of the things y'all endured. I mean, some of the things we allowed to happen, some of the things that y'all had to do for us, some of the things you're still doing for us. Unconditional love is dysfunctional to me. I don't want you to love us unconditionally. I want you to love us in our conditions of mutual love. I don't, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
This is why everyone thinks I'm against everything else. I am. I pretty much am. My campaign slogan is all this shit has to go. All of it. Everything that you see, every organization, every movement, I just don't have any faith in any of them, any trust in any of them. If it's not about the servitude of black women and black women and the reflection of that servitude, it's not going to work. I don't care what they call themselves. But anyway, that's my mind.
I agree with you. I would like to, if you don't mind, say something to a response to what just said. And the operative word is serve. In this reality, we say deserve. Oh, we deserve. But you take out the D-E, it's serve. So instead of saying deserve, we need to serve. I agree with that. When it comes to loving, whatever that operative term is for you, whatever it means for you, the black man, you said love like the black man loves himself, may he loves her. Well, here it is. A lot of our what we would call love, you said dysfunction, and I say there's a function within the dysfunction that we have utilized and need to get rid of. A lot of us do not know how to, because we weren't taught, we didn't effectively listen, or, you know, it wasn't there in the forefront, because we were breeders. We were taught they got the biggest, strongest, they bred, they got us, they bred, wet nurses. All of the history is our reflection. That's what we were taught, especially in the South. And what I was taught was that the black woman and the black man, because my grandparents and great-grandparents raised me, I was very fortunate in that I saw men be men, if you will, okay? I saw my grandfather treat my grandmother with such respect and endowment, and my grandmother do the exact same thing, if not more. Well, we've lost that along the way. Back in the 50s, 40s, you can say with feminism, or you can say when they initiated slavery, when they first initiated the welfare system, which was back in slavery, when they separated everything and said, hey, we're going to move the woman here, the man there. He can maybe visit if we don't sell the child and the woman. All that initiated back then. So there is a healing that has to take place mentally first, I feel, and it starts with each other. And if we have some brothers and sisters that are into healing of the mind and not degradation, because what I've been witnessing is that men and women, they've degraded themselves to the point that they've become what they say they are. You call the woman the B word,
Well, she's messing with a man she calls a dog. So the dog goes with the bee. You see, it's a reflection, as you said. There's a reflection there, and the reflection has to change, and it starts with self first. Well, how can I change self when I've been taught that this is how it is? But I've learned with me personally that I see, or I've learned to see the world how it is and not how I am. And most people see the world how they are and not how it is. And we have to put a realistic and logistic approach on a lot of things that most people don't do. A lot of people are very emotional without the interjection of reason. And I do understand that, but my philosophy has been let's think logically with the interjection of emotion. I call it the C, which is sympathy, empathy, apathy, and aapathy. And aapathy is simply passion. Not APA, but AEIPA. So we have the sea that we must roam in, but best utilize it and to our benefit and not be so emotional when we're dealing from one to the other. Let's utilize a listenership versus listening to respond. Let's listen, because anyone can teach, but not everyone can listen. I thank you for giving me a piece in that.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Yes.
So this is about parents' relationship, right, with kids?
Oh, sorry about that. I'm steady talking to myself. Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
I appreciate you, sister. Did you hear anything I said?
No, sir, I did not. Did you hear anything I said?
I heard everything you said. The thing is, I like to mute when you're talking so I don't interrupt and you don't hear any background noise, and I forgot to take the mute off. But what I was saying is I wanted your name again so I can make sure I know exactly who you are, so the next time we talk, and you say, do you know me? I'm going to say, yes, I know you. So what's your name again?
It's Sister Latita Jackson. Actually, under your icon that was posted that says we're on in 3 minutes, I literally put I am 865. That's me.
Okay. Thank you. What I'm going to do is I think we got another caller, is we're going to put your mic on mute, but that doesn't mean we're hanging up. I might come back to you, and we come back to you if you want to share some more. But I wanted to hear I want to let everyone get a chance to speak. So, Kim, do we have another person waiting to speak? Yeah.
Yeah, so this is about a parent relationship, right?
Yes, it can be. Who am I speaking with?
Joe,
how you doing, Joe?
Good, you?
I'm great. What would you like to share?
Oh, that, you know, many. Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. I think
sorry.
There's some break. I don't know what's going on, but go ahead and speak.
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Many families have good relationships, even though there's been, you know, fights, and, you know, sometimes it doesn't lead to divorce. Know what I mean? Right.
Yeah, I was really like, were you speaking on the aspects of child and parent relationship or parent relationship in general, or all of the above?
All of the above.
Right. This is my take on all of the above.
I mean, yeah, all of the above. You know,
right. My take on all of the above.
Too.
Is there has to be a foundation of culture. And
yes.
Not just for an individual family, but for an entire community. We all have to move in the same direction in order to merge our families. We actually have to merge. What our dysfunction is everyone's more concerned about their There are certain circumstances and issues, and I agree with that. But once you get yourself in order, it's good for us to merge and to become a system within a system, which is the community, which is a culture. Like,
yeah.
We used to have that. We used to have that your neighbor knew your kid just as well as you knew theirs, and you knew your own. Like, it was more like a family. I can remember that in the 70s, but I can't remember that once the 90s. Once they flooded our communities with drugs and just this regime of this tactic and everything they've done to oppress us, where the oppression became more centralized, like it was more focused on putting us all in one area and keeping us as hostages under their indoctrinations of government and policy or economic structures and education and police and judicial system. And I personally believe that every black person in jail are captives because they weren't given the same opportunity to be self-sustained and self-sufficient and dependent upon themselves. If you make scarcities into a community, those persons live in a survival mode. So if you live in the survival mode, they can come out and utilize their jurisdiction to do whatever they want to you. So if you see a brother selling drugs to another brother or selling drugs in general, 9 times out of 10, that was a system that was created for them, not by them, because we don't make the drugs. If you see us shooting one another, that was a system created for us, not by us, because we don't make guns. We don't make cigarettes. We don't manufacture any damn thing, really. Mm-hmm. So 10 times out of 10, everything that you see is a part of their system of oppression to build this ignorance and this primitive lifestyle that we live. So in order for us to change this, I always felt that the relationship between the mother and the father and the children has to be reformed. All of this shit we're doing must go. It all has to go. We have to unlearn everything we've learned and re-educate ourselves and rebuild our culture. We need a new culture. I'm sick of all of it. I have had enough with every bit of it. I don't care how good it is. I don't care how good it sounds. At the end of the day, to me, it always sounds like shameless good intentions, because our whole primary objective should be all focused on bringing our families back to the forefront and then getting off the grid, obtaining land, and building our own self-sustained community village or eco village. Something to start. I don't care if it's a trailer park. I don't care if it's a black self-sustained trailer park. These trailers are looking real nice nowadays. Ain't nobody say we gotta live like white trash does. We are clean and tidy people when we build for ourselves. We mistreat these communities because we didn't build them. We don't control them. We have no power or say-so. So a lot of times you're going to throw trash in it. These aren't black communities. We are black inhabitants. So with that being said, I set the gauntlet down for you. What you think about what I said?
I think it's very logical. I mean, yeah, drugs, you know, it's not good for families. I mean, affects many families, even white families as well. You know, they're doing it. Drugs, a lot of drugs, and just people and makes them bring dead retards. Know what I mean?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. Are you moving around or you pacing?
I was walking.
I can't.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, there's
I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, but I mean, drugs, that's main things, you know, and I know certain families that have done drugs, and you know, it doesn't keep a family together. It turns them gay.
I'm letting you talk. I'm letting you be heard. I want you to get out everything you feel. Like, what do you think the solution is? First, what do you think the problem is?
Drugs.
Drugs? How do you think we solve this problem?
Get rid of it.
Say what?
Get rid of it.
How do we get rid of it?
Destroy it.
Say what?
Who is that?
Kim, are you there?
Hang up on him and try somebody else.
Kim runs the board. I don't know if she's out or who just said that?
Oh, snap, you can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Did you
hit
number one?
Yes. Oh, what's up? I got something to talk about. Now, you said something about drugs, saying something about drugs in the community. Or I was saying something earlier because I had switched the call.
Hold on, sister. Who am I speaking to?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're speaking to Maisha from Florida.
How you doing, Maisha? Go ahead. What was you saying?
I'm doing good. I was trying to jump in the conversation when you was talking about, you know, the trailer park. I was getting into that. I was just trying to tell, like, you know, I'm 21 years old, and I go to HCC down here in Florida, and I was just telling some of my, you know, classmates, like, we should just, you know, buy land. Instead of going, you know, just save our money as we, you know, do student housing and everything, but we should buy land, and we should probably go get, like, an RV. You know, one of those little driving homes or whatever the cost may be. You know, I would want to buy land just to have land on my, like, as my, on my, you know, that's my property. And I would want to have an RV because that's what I will be living in. And then I can travel. I can travel the country. I can find out historical facts about this land. Because I don't use that term, African-American, because I'm not for the listen to that. I'm just not for it because it's two different places. I know that we are the Aborigines of this land. I know that we've been lied to. I know that black is not a color. Black is essence of which all color come from. I know that they've been lying to us. So I want to, you know, I'm trying to take that step of proclaiming our like, you know how the Jews get that, what the hell is they get their little reparations or whatever it may be. But you know the Jews are fake. If you go with the Bible basically tell everybody that we are Hebrews, but I'm not religious. I just want to say, like, you know, maybe we should buy some land. Maybe it should be like one of those trailer park things, like, I ain't going to cap it. The trailer park area is looking really, really nice. And, like, our neighborhood is terrible because we have our predominantly black, as they said, neighborhood or whatever the cause may be. But we don't have no business that's black-owned in our neighborhood. Everything is Chinese, Asian, Arab, or white. You feel me? Everybody profited in our neighborhood. And I try to tell my people, like, you know what? We don't need to be having them in our neighborhood. We need to boot them out. We need to get our business license and do what we got to do to boot them out because they don't belong in this neighborhood because we don't own nothing in their neighborhood. You feel me? We're surrounded by, like, down the road from me, there's a gun store and there's an abortion clinic. And right next to them is like a gas station, but it sells liquor and everything in there. It's crazy. That's how they set us up. They set us up in, like, a situation.
Right. If you have an agenda to keep what you fear at bay, doesn't it make sense to take all of their resources and have them codependent? I mean, see, here's our problem. I have so many problems. But I'm going to pinpoint just this one problem. And what our real problem is we're spoiled. We allow all of their resources to spoil us to where we're claiming that we're a part of it. Like, have you ever heard when someone speaks on American events or American catastrophes or something they did, I always separate them from me. Like when they go over and they invaded Syria and they was like, we go and attack this, or we did that, or we, back in the days of that, why, where is this we shit? I'm not in, I ain't did nothing to nobody. I'm not, I'm tired of being associated with them. You understand? I don't, like you said, I don't like being called African-American neither. I want to be called, here's my reparations. You mentioned reparations. Leave me the hell alone. That is my reparation. I don't want your money. I don't want your charity. I don't want your empathy, your sympathy, your remorse. I don't want no apology. Just leave me alone. That's all. When I talk to white people, ask my wife.
You tripping. They got me bit. You on some low level. You being nice to them. I'm not going to be nice to nobody.
That's why I'm in mass communication
as my major now. No, they owe us more than that. I'm not talking about money. I'm going to need a couple of things to happen. Number one, I'm listening. Education. That's a big problem. Yeah, they could probably give us land and 40 acres and a mule, you feel me? But education, that's a problem. I grew up, I'm a 90s baby. So me growing up, when I seen the book, they had a black man behind a white man in the book of evolution in our science book. You feel me? In my biology book. That's what I seen growing up in the fourth grade. You feel me? I grew up saying that we ain't come from nothing but slaves. You feel me? I didn't know about our rich heritage that we have. I didn't know nothing about the six protons, the six neutrons, the six electrons that create the melanin in our skin. You feel me? The pigment, the same thing that's made in space. I didn't know that we are the first people, because I believe that Adam and Eve story, and they was teaching that shit in school, too. Everybody who all teaches this, white women, and they Christian. You feel me? It's not really that we fool, it's that we miseducated. It's that we're kind of ignorant to what's going on in today's society. A lot of us are, like you said, you want to keep a people at bay? You're right. They got us in a state of survival 24/7. We don't know who's going to attack us next, the police, the vigilantes, a.k.a. the KKK, the government. We don't know. Today, all I know was two people in position with power, two judges, just wind up dead. A couple of days apart in the same week. Then they show this video, this black dude killing this other black dude. But when he kill him, he do this little spin out and shout out where he worked type crazy stuff. Then when he put the camera back on the man's body, ain't no blood on the body, ain't no blood on the back, none of that. Now look. Moving on, back to the present day. That we don't got, where the funeral at? Why don't we talk about that no more? What happened to that? Just like that stuff that just happened at Ariana Grande's little thing. You see how they do that propaganda shit, you feel me? They keep us going. They keep feeding us the fire once they do something like a real fucked up thing, like how they killed those two judges. You feel me?
Right.
It's just, we are under attack. They put it in the water. You don't know if you heard about the scientists who had exposed that shit. Now he getting death threats. He exposed how they had him do an experimentation on the frogs to see if the frogs can, because they all think they was dying out or whatever. They want to keep species going. And it ended up, like, making the frogs turn to females or whatever. And they can be able to reproduce. You feel me? Made them gay, basically. And they put that in rural communities. Okay? They made sure that they put it in our communities heavily in our water supply. You feel me? So we bathing and drinking and washing our dishes and putting boiling water, because you know you fill the water with the same water. You feel me?
Right.
It's crazy. We are under attack 24/7. So
listen,
who wouldn't want a distraction? A lot of us don't want to look at that. And if we look at it, we focus on one attacker. We ain't focused on the other people that's coming after us. We got Planned Parenthood. What was that, Margaret Singer? Who made that shit up back in the 90s? Not 90s, my bad. 1950s, 1960s? When she did that project, the Planned Parenthood, when it was the Negro project. I'll be in that shit. Nah, man. I'm in need. That's education. Education is one. Number two.
Listen, can you hear me?
My ancestors put back in where they belong. Because I don't like the fact that they moved those, what they call the mummies. I'm going to need them to be rest in peace. Not in museums. That's fucked up. You got my ancestor on display like this, bitch. Like, I don't mean to be cussing, but it blows my mind. You got my mind. I'm still young. I'm trying to get that to that point. But it's crazy. That's two. And three, the last thing. I'm going to need my people. We need to have, like, they had this thing with this Muslim girl. She wore her hijab and stuff. I guess it was some hatred going on with Trump Electric against Muslims. So So she went on her college thing, and a couple of her Muslim friends, they got a little stand, and it was like, ask a Muslim. And it made all the Muslims feel comfortable because they'll ask questions, and they, you know, they felt like, you know, somebody was there for them. Like, they didn't feel so alone. In today's society, we only make up 13% of the country. But for some reason, we make up most of the population that's in prisons and jails, and we basically incarcerated. So that leaves so only that much of us out here. I feel like we should start that up. That's the last thing. That's it. We should just start it up, and we shouldn't be afraid to want to help other black people.
What's your name again?
Maisha.
Sister Maisha, listen, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Huh?
Listen, you're not disagreeing with me. Listen, because you said I was tripping, but listen, I make it impossible for you to disagree with me. The only ones that can ever disagree with me are men or someone outside of who you are. Because everything, every single thing I'm doing is under your orders. You're telling me to do this. And as your servant, I'm doing this. So when you speak, you're only speaking in the reflection of what I'm doing for you. So when I said I need them to leave us the hell alone, that goes into everything you're saying. Because if they weren't intervening in our lives, they could not indoctrinate us with these lies. They cannot teach us how to be ignorant of our self-knowledge if they are in the forefront of our educational system. So when I say leave us the hell alone, what I'm saying is to get that land and to build. And I don't care if it's these double wides are nice, and I don't care if it's a mobile home, a motor home. It doesn't matter to me. I'm willing, as long as it's not living in tent cities. Now, that I'm not doing. I don't care if they want to call it white folks to spoil this. No, we have come too far to go that far back. But we are still so stagnant that we have to start with something like a trailer park. And there's some nice ones now. I mean, and this with this technology and how things are being evolved, there's some beautiful homes that we can build ourselves. And I know of brothers who are doing that as well. But first, we have to... I'm building these formats to bring us together because in order to heal ourselves, we have to discuss our ailments, our illnesses and our sicknesses and our ailments. And I'm sick of these remedies. I need cures. I want solutions. To hell with an idea. Let's see your blueprint. You got an idea? Show me a blueprint. If you don't have a blueprint, get the hell on. And that's how it should be. And I challenge any black woman on this earth to say I'm wrong about anything. Because anything, I swear, I put this on everything. Every single word that comes out of my mouth, everything I do, is because y'all telling me to do it. Everything.
And we need to get rid of it. Oh, they're going to have to give up at least 7 states.
You ain't getting nothing from these devils. Stop asking. Why ask? Do you want me to do this or not? If you think you can do it yourself.
They're going to have to leave.
We can't even get them to shut the hell up. How are we gonna get them to leave? I just want them to shut up. Every time I see one of them, shut up.
We don't have to listen to them. Like I said earlier, we don't have to listen to them. We can be about us, our black people business. I got white people all around me, but I be focused on my black people business. When I talk my black talk, ain't none of them around. When it's Christmas time for them, they celebrate their holiday. But when it's you know, Kwanzaa for black people, I don't see nobody talking to me. I don't see nobody coming to my neighborhood. I get that, though. That's why I stick to my people. I ain't got to focus on them and what they doing long as I'm doing it right. I'm trying to get my friends in Congress. I'm trying to get my friends in politicians. Me, I'm trying to get on the TV, radio station, anything. That's so I can get this point across.
You
feel me? Y'all got to wake up.
This is what you should do.
How do my brothers and sisters sleep?
This is what you should do as advice. Is instead of putting the cart before the horse, you got to start with the horse first. And in order to do that, you have to give someone. See, like the sister that called in earlier, I used to do all that nonprofit things, and I had organizations and fathers and training programs. But at the end of the day, kids I worked with and the brothers and adults I work with went right back home to their dysfunctional communities, their dysfunctional households, their dysfunctional parents, their dysfunctional ideas and religions, and it never changed. So what we have to do is change our community. We have to get this land. There's no way out of that. We have to put our monies together, our resources. We just need an organization that people trust. I personally am a campaign strategist. I'm that crunchy peanut butter that you can't spread thin. I'm not that creamy peanut butter you can spread thin. I'm all these different things. No, I'm one thing. I'm a campaign strategist and under the servitude to black women. That's it. Now, if somebody got a great idea, I'll get it. I'll get the word out there. I'll get behind you 100%, and I'll stay in my lane because that's what I do well. I do this well.
I'm raising warriors. I have no children, but I am raising warriors. Over here, they got the university area. It's a park, and we teaching the children how to grow. Okay? I'm good in archery. I'm actually helping out with the archery. I'm trying to learn how to focus on children. I got my associate's degree in early childhood development. I mean, don't sleep on me. But I did just change my my major, you feel me, to mass communication. Because it was just too much. 2016 was just too much. It was just too much. But I changed it this year. Just understand,
so,
you got some warriors out here that's doing whatever they can. I'm trying my best. And right now, my next step right now is to figure out how to get gun license. Going to the shooting range. Protect myself.
Just apply for that. I don't know in Florida.
Florida racist. Florida's racist.
Don't try to section them off. This whole entire country is racist.
I know, but I'm saying because I'm from Florida and I'm in Florida. I mean, this is what I'm experiencing in Florida. I know it's all around the world. Okay, I already know it's hatred for our people. I know it's hatred because we are the chosen ones. I know what they do. I know what they did. But at the same time, we got to prepare our children. We got to prepare the next generation. We got to prepare our generation, my generation. That's what we're doing. We're preparing ourselves and the generation after ours. Because all of this is crazy how the police, we teaching them the laws. We telling them, like, right now on my car, you got this little sign saying, like, you know, basically telling me I don't have to speak to you. I got a picture of my driver's license, the register of the car, you feel me? All that information, and I type it to the window when they pull me over. I don't want to say nothing to them. I don't want to be next Sandra Bland, you feel me?
I openly admit,
when a police officer come to me, and I know that he's a white male, off the rip, I already called dispatch. Straight up. That's what I do. I call dispatch and I ask them, can they send me a minority out? If they got a problem with that, oh well. It's too much racism in this country. I'm not going to deal with this. And they are so
That's actually a
nasty.
Smart idea. I never thought of that. That's a new
one. Yeah. I try to tell all my friends this, and I hope they wake up and they listen. Like some of my friends do, some of them don't. Thank you, though.
You just got to hope he ain't a bootlicker, though. You know you got them, too, though.
Yeah.
Got to show off for them.
I know the coons.
Right.
Gotcha.
But
and I know who to trust and who not to trust. I know what to say and what to say. You feel me? Don't get it. I mean, when they look at me, all they see is another black girl that they think they can run over. But I'm not the one. I keep quiet. I say to myself, if I gotta get loud, I'll get loud. If I gotta record, I'll record. But I know when I'm right. So I feel like at this rate. Because they're killing black women going missing, people's organs are getting sold. This shit is just crazy. They got the Pizzagate going on where they're raping little kids and selling them into sex slavery. And it's just like, oh, snap. And then they still want me to maintain my regular life of going to college, having a job, and you know, still maintaining life. But I'm seeing black girls like me getting taken off the street.
Hey,
I'm
scared. Feel you, Sister Jackson. Sister Jackson, I think we got another caller coming in. I'm gonna have Sister Kim put you on your mic on mute for a little bit. That doesn't mean hang up or anything. I want to hear some more
from
you.
I was listening to y'all. Thank y'all for letting me talk. I'll be quiet now.
Yeah.
At me on Facebook.
Yes. I thought you were already with me. Didn't I invite you? Kim, you there? Hello. Do we have a caller in?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Am I on?
Yeah, I can hear you. Who am I speaking to?
Oh, okay. Oh, this is Brother Rod Dessalines.
How you doing, brother?
Hey,
What's on your mind, man?
I just saw you post the number saying you was on. I was calling to listen to what you was talking about. And, you know, it's very interesting to hear about the drugs, the buying land, you know. It's all wonderful. It's great. It's a beautiful thing. But one thing that I've noticed and I've been looking at is this Jew, like the sister was talking about, you know, the Jew, the so-called Jew. We have to look at the many inquisitions that the Jew was up under. He was chased up out of every country he was in. And why? And when he ran, one of the places he ran here, you know, Christopher Columbus, Christopher Colon, he was a so-called Jew. They gave him an ultimatum.
He was Italian. He wasn't a so-called Jew.
He's still white. He's still using European.
Listen, brother, they're all under different nationalities.
Right.
Greek,
right.
Italian, Jew, Irish, Europeans are what they are, period. They can call
right.
themselves what nationality they want. There are descendants, distant descendants. I don't call them direct. I don't think anyone should. Because of their behavior, I think that your nationality is based on your behavior, your character, and your conduct and your integrity. To me,
right.
And I think the real issue with our nationality is that we have been misplaced from who we are. We don't have one anymore. And the thing is, we have to stop allowing them to take it. We have to stop asking for what is already ours. We just got to do it. And it's not about unity. I think that we have unity. I just don't think we know how to function in it. I think we love each other. I see many of our people in one gathering showing nothing but love, but they have to be identified by one another, and that's the problem. We should be identified by our nationality, not by our making things personal. Like you ever notice how we always like, stay out of my business, or why are you asking me questions? Or sometimes it's good to be an open book. If you're living about that right life, about black love and black unity, I'm an open book. You can ask me anything. I've shared my past with people. People have rejected me for the things I've done. But like the sister said earlier, we come from ignorance. I didn't know no better. If you raised in Russia by Russians, you're going to speak Russian. I learned to speak a different language, and that's how I evolved. That's how I changed. I never sold drugs to anyone, but that doesn't make me any better than someone who sold drugs. I never did a whole lot of stuff our people did. I never killed anybody, fought brothers all the time. I fought a lot, but it was mostly in self-defense because I got a big mouth. But a whole lot of times it's just us learning how – mainly what it is, us learning how to use our unity for our prosperity, because I don't believe that we're ignorant. I don't believe that we don't know. I think we know, we just ignore what we know, which is the form of ignorance, ignorance, to ignore what we know. Because it's so comfortable to be blissfully ignorant, because it's so much fun. It's fun to be ignorant, but it's not making us happy. We're too busy having fun. Every time you look at one of us, we dancing, laughing, joking, playing, singing, everything, but none of us are happy. So there's no one can tell me that we're not united. We just don't know how to use it. You feel what I'm saying?
Right. Well, you know, Dr. Asa Hillard gave a great analogy, right? He said, he was talking about, you know, us and us taking on the characteristics of Europeans, right? So he gave the analogy of a sheepdog. He said, how do you get a sheepdog? You know, we like sheepdogs. You take a sheepdog as a pup, and you raise him around sheep till it begins to believe that it is a sheep. And with all of its physical capabilities, or that is much better than that sheep. It can do everything 100 times better than that sheep, but yet it's still, if that dog's mama ever comes to him, he will fight his mama to protect those sheep. See, we are, like Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad said, we was robbed of our names, our religion, our culture, our God, our folkways, our mores, our norms. We were brought to a strange land for many, many years, and we lost our identity. So now we are acting just like those who brought us here, and we try to outdo the European. We try to be more European than the European. We try to be more Muslim than the Muslim. We try to be more Jew than the Jew. We try to be more than what we are and trying to be like somebody else. So it's not our fault. You know, we just in a strange land, robbed of our identities, robbed of our being. So we're trying to be like someone else that who has a natural dislike for everything natural. He doesn't like anything that's natural because it's unnatural itself. And that's a whole nother story, because I don't even want to talk about where this white boy come from, this European come from, because he's here and he's destroying the whole world. He's polluting the water. He's polluting the air. He's polluting he's killing off the animal life, the aquatic life. He's killing off human life. He is here and he's destroying. You know what I'm saying? He's in the land that ain't even his. And we are fighting for a piece of land. I'm down here in Arizona, and I see all these essays here. You know, the essays and blacks are just alike. You know, we're so similar. But this is their land, and we all are serving on our jobs. You know, we are all serving and making sure that this white boy is taken care of. I'm like, damn, this is their shit. You know, when we talk about the Mexican-American War, we all know how that went down, how dirty it went down. But this European has used us to get everything that he wants. You know, we look at the Buffalo Soldiers. You know what I'm saying? Ignorant, just didn't know we was fighting to take over something that he wanted. You know what I'm saying? So we've been robbed out of our mind. We need some kind of invention to go deep down inside of our psyche and strip everything that's European up out of it. Until that day, you know, many of us that aren't woke, and many of us that are trying to get woke, even those that are so-called conscious, I'm done with the conscious community, because the conscious community want to just use those who are waking up, make a few dollars, and go buy them a house out there in the hill, go buy the next big car, the next big house, all the fine clothes and jewelry and everything that his oppressor has. So I'm done with them. You know what I'm saying? I love them because they speaking good information. But as far as being real to it, you know, there's one thing about unity, and then there's loyalty. You know, we lack loyalty. You know what I'm saying? Everybody is caught up in individualism. You know what I'm saying? That's why I always look at the many inquisitions. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm jumping all over the place, but I look at the inquisitions, and when the Jew was chased out, he went and hid. You know what I'm saying? He went and hide, and he was still practicing Judaism, you know what I'm saying, secretly, but yet he was trying to be somebody else to keep from being persecuted by the queen and the king of Rome. So when he came over here, he said, oh, look, I know I'm still practicing Judaism, this and that, but here, I found all this land here. You know, we can, you know, make deals, and we can take over all this land. And that's what happened. And when you read the book, Secret Relationship Between, not Secret Relationship Between Black and Jews, but the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, that Jew said wherever he strike his spade, he owns. Uganda at one time was called France's El Dorado, City of Gold. Libya was called Italian's El Dorado, City of Gold. They went all over the world, struck they spade, and said, this is ours. And when the people woke up, like the Mama in Kenya, like the Haitians, and woke up and said, hey, to their neck. And, man, the sad part about this, there's only one way to get out of this, and we're going to have to do what the Wretched of the Earth by Franz Fanon said. We're going to have to decolonize ourselves. And the way you decolonize yourself is the same way you got colonized. That's the only way I see it. The only way. You can buy all the land you want, but we see what they did. We see what they did to Dr. York. Dr. York had a great thing down there in Georgia, and they got him on zoning that sheriff jumped on that bulldozer, hit himself. He said, "I want to destroy this stuff my damn self." And he bulldozed everything, and it was so beautiful. But they got him on zoning, so they went to their law books, this and that, and, you know, did some illegal stuff and chased him up out of there. Elijah Muhammad. These are two of the greatest men we ever had because they gave us land. They woke up our people. They did all of this. But the Europeans, just like they did it in Jersey on the Move movement, bombed their buildings. Just like they did in Black Wall Street. They see us productive. They bombed it. You know what I'm saying? We owned every damn thing. You know, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. The only way, like Jean-Jacques Dessalines said, sometimes you're going to have to be, or you're going to have to be just as vicious or even more vicious as the French, Joe Freeman.
Brother, can I intervene real fast?
Oh, go ahead.
Listen, first of all, bro, this concept of conscious community is non-existent. They do not exist. A whole lot of us are in this fascination of what we claim to be. But anyone can claim to be a source. But if you're not moving in the actions of that source to reveal your consciousness in action in your lifestyle, then it's non-existent. See, what we are is we are utilizing the revelations our elevation to consciousness or awareness as a tool, but not as a source. Because if there was such a thing as a conscious community, you wouldn't leave it. Because you're a conscious mind. I've listened to you. You're very intelligent, brother. You have a lot of understanding. So you are within a conscious community within yourself. The problem therein lies is that freedom is a road seldom traveled by the multitude. So once you come to that revelation and understanding of consciousness, you're going to find yourself not being included in a whole lot of things. Because having knowledge is one thing, but having understanding is another. You feel me? You have understanding to where you're bearing witness to people who just have knowledge. So if you were to learn something, would you want to learn from someone who has knowledge of a subject or someone who knows that subject? Because you have to elevate from one step to the next. And when you mention Dr. York, if you're on a righteous plan and your blueprint, see, my issue with Dr. York is I detest one-man dictatorship or leadership. The problem with him is he wanted to be too much of he didn't allow people to function in their merits. You know what I'm saying? I've mentioned it before. Okay. There's two types of peanut butter. There's creamy peanut butter and that's that extra crunchy that it's not easy to spread thin. We all have to utilize our talents and allow those talents to function within the community. He didn't have any committees. See, that's my problem, and I love President Robert Mugabe. But my problem with dictatorship is they try to be everything. That's my problem with Farah Muhammad's indoctrination of Elijah Muhammad on the Farrakhan, on the whoever else comes after him. It's all dictatorships. I detest them. It's never going to work. You're never going to find any solutions in it. And the problem, and that was Dr. York's problem, not to mention he was a child molester. Most cults are like that. For some reason, they have sexual immaturities. And I don't understand that. It seems like every way of life organized by someone who has an alternative solution, they seem to be sexual deviants. Have you ever looked at every cult? It seems like all of them are trying to get at women too much. I mean, the thought that it was so convenient that Elijah Muhammad became a polygamist at the death of his original wife. I mean, no one talked about it too much until she died. But Malcolm said they were not his wives. They were ostracized. They were ridiculed. And they were put out of the nation because They weren't supposed to name who the father was. I mean, if you listen, I don't believe. Not that I don't believe. I know Malcolm wasn't a liar. I know that his death came from his courage to speak the real truth. So these people you attest to as being the greatest men, that's your opinion, brother, because they can't stand in the same room as Marcus Garvey. Neither one of them. Neither one of them can stand in the same room as Martin Luther King. See, everyone's so caught up on our integration, but they didn't understand how weak we were separated because we had little stores and stuff, but we weren't manufacturing anything. We weren't. The only way to infiltrate a structure is from the inside out when you have no power. Espionage is how they destroyed everything we created. So the only way we're going to destroy this is, like you said, by the way they integrated us or way they colonized us, infiltration. Espionage, manipulation. Now that we're in their government, now we're in their judicial system, their police forces, their education, we're in there. But like you also said, that's why you got wisdom, brother. Our problem is no longer white supremacy. Our problem is that we're mimicking them. We think we're them. We call ourselves Americans, just of another nationality, African American. Most of us don't know a damn thing about Africa. Hell, Africans don't know a damn thing about theyself. They selling out theirself quicker than we are. If you ask me, I think the only way to save Africa is through us, because they're gone. If you create a scarcity, they'll do anything, brother. How do you allow someone to come and perform a regime of apartheid in your continent? They went to Africa and put them into a system of apartheid. How can you live for that? No, we're so afraid of dying because we have no understanding of death. Right. And that's where it comes from. We have no real understanding of death. We're controlled by our fears, and we're controlled by the unknown. So we utilize knowledge as a tool to create these fictitious or self-glorified images, and we make masters of the dead. So if you make, if you create some big monument of Elijah Muhammad or even Marcus Garvey, even Malcolm, all you can see is to that damn statue or to that monument of them. But can you see beyond that? That's why they'll say nobody could take their place. The hell if they can't. If you tell them they can't, they won't look to go past or higher up. We need to carry these torches. White folks don't sit around and praise their dead heroes. They keep making new ones. They keep making new heroes while we're sitting up here worshiping the dead. That's our problem. That is a whole lot of our problem, brother. And I'm telling you.
Oh, you on point. You on point. But
the way to fix this, brother, is just, it can start with me and you. Because you have wisdom, and I have wisdom. That's what they don't want us to admit. It makes it seem like we're arrogant or we're being narcissistic of some sort. Why you can't have wisdom? Why you can't have understanding? Why are we so hell-bent on knowledge? Because knowledge is unobtainable. You can never, it's never complete. When you think you understand something, they change it. But you cannot change understanding. You cannot change the truth. The truth remains the same. That's why they say there's nothing new under the sun. What they're talking about is the truth is never changing. What's changing is the knowledge is changing. It's evolving. But we have to evolve this knowledge with wisdom to know how to utilize it. This technology is growing, brother. Look at all this technology we have before us, to where it's damn near ignorant to be ignorant. There's too much wisdom at the touch of our fingers. All we got to do is reach out and grab it, bruh. That's it.
Right.
You feel me?
Right. I mean, oh, no doubt. I don't like to romanticize. You know, when you romanticize off the fall and off the dead, that's what becomes the problem. So you have to pick on the characteristics of those who came before you. So when you look at Haiti, I'm big on Haiti right now. Once you look at the Ogun, the Legba, once you look at these guys, you take on the spirit, you take on the physical form of these guys, and you do what the myth was that was in them, that carried on in those that lived and died. So you take on that. know what I'm saying? So you become that was great. So that should be the mission. You have to be what was once great. You are the new. You are the reborn. You have to continue on that fight. I ain't got time. I love knowledge. I love wisdom. But at the same time, you're going to have to put them gloves on. You got to get your hands dirty. You got to get strap your boots up and get out there and walk that walk of those answers that talk that talk. Because I met Dr. Ben. I said, Dr. Ben, what you want to do? What you want us to do with this information? You know what I'm saying? What do you want from us on the sick base? I mean, you get out there and you make it happen. You put in the work. So I ain't got time to hear nobody reinvent the wheel. You know what I'm saying? The knowledge is there. I take it up, but you're going to have to walk with it. And but like I said, I called Dr. Ewer. I know his flaws. I know Elijah Muhammad's flaws. You know what I'm saying? But I love what great that he did. I hate to focus on any bad, like you said, once we focus on that bad and we talk bad about it. You know, I don't want to focus on the bad. I know they did dirt, and I'm going to put the dirt out there. But I want to focus on the good that they did. So I want to take some of that good and run with the good. And I want to build people and make people, but I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be 100 times greater than me. You understand what I'm saying? Be much greater, just like Dr. Collett, all of them said, I want you to be 100 times better than me. You know what I'm saying? Keep on running and keep carrying that torch and pass that torch on and make sure that that fire gets brighter and brighter and brighter and hotter until the war is won and your home is now your home and don't let anybody else come inside your home and take it over. That's what I'm looking at. But you know, I didn't mean to step on your toes.
You good? We breaking bread. That's my slogan of this show. Let's break bread. Have you noticed? I let everybody just talk.
I let everybody
get everything off their chest because eventually, I'm going to start talking solutions. But first, you can never speak on solutions without coming to a mutual understanding because there will only be a conflict of so many different interests. So here's my primary objective. Here is the solution. We have to have committees, a committee of elders, a committee of seniors, a committee of juniors, and a committee of youth with elective voices and heads of each committee. But all those committees work together because that is what we're faced. White folks call it democracy. You see what I'm saying? What we call it is black nation building. Because if you have a head and that head falls, not only does the body fall with it, but the seeds that was birthed from it go you know what I'm saying? They go with no knowledge of what to do next. Like, Martin was killed early. So we didn't know what to do with this integrated status we were in. But if you notice, he was changing. Because he knew he was integrating his people into a burning building. But once we got put in there, instead of inhaling the smoke and land and ourselves being consumed by this toxic fumes, we should have built a way to put this fire out and come out of that burning building with something. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to rob and loot stores. I want to rob and loot their damn system. I want to riot their system. I want to work internally and build to come out of this with something. I don't want to ask for shit. I want to take it from them. I want to take what they took from us. But the only way to take from it is to utilize these black cops we have, these black politicians, these bootleggers. We either have to, these athletes with millions and millions of dollars, they ain't nothing without us. We are too. Here's one thing, my whole subject matter today is going to be on all the posts I wrote this week. This was one post I wrote. The damn man, on everything I love, I can't stand a groupie. And everybody says, Mike, you shouldn't have hate in your heart. I hate them. I hate groupies. They don't hold anybody accountable to nothing. As long as you can sing, dance, act, or whatever, you can disrespect our women. You can disrespect our culture, our nationality. You can, as long as you got a nice beat and a good dance to it, man, the hell with them. I don't like Tupac. I don't like Prince. I don't like Michael Jackson. And everybody hate me. But the best way, the best thing that ever happened for us is their death. And everybody, you say that? You damn right, because I'm a warrior. And anyone destroying us needs to die. I don't compromise, period. If you some bootlicker in black skin, and you up here telling our brothers to hate each other, and you on somebody's song talking about you had sex with another man's wife, and I kill this nigga and this nigga that, and fuck you, bitch, and all that, man, die. If you up here wearing pants with your ass hanging out, and you up here acting like a woman, looking like a woman, acting all feminine, got our sisters thinking that this is the image of a black man, and our black men trying to get at our sisters, start mimicking it, emulating this punk. Look at what happened to us. Look at how we acting now. We needed all of them to die off, or they needed to fall the fuck back. But they would never fall back. They like that money too much. They build fantasy islands and what was it, Never Never Land and Paisley Parks, and you spending multi-million dollars on this stuff. You could have built a community for your people. And I was mad because Sean Penn and Rob and Brad Pitt took millions of dollars from their people, these freaking, the Actors Guild, this union, and built a whole small community for our black people after the Katrina. They wanted to keep it hush-hush, but I did research on it. And I was like, ain't this... And we didn't have Master P. That's his hometown. Lil Wayne, all them hot boys, and all of them with millions, throwing away millions on a car, didn't buy nobody nothing. All they did was give money to charity organizations, and we are not charity. We should not be utilized as charity. These are your people. Give me a hand up. Don't give me a, don't feed me in a hole. Don't throw me a blanket and say cover up, it's gonna get cold. Let's get out, pull each other out of this, bury that hole, and let's build on top of it. But this is the system that you see us in. These damn groupies got to go, man. These damn entertainers and they money, stop, man. I don't buy nothing. I don't listen. I told my kids, you listen to the instrumental. You want to hear that? You like that beat? We're tribal people. I know we love the drums and the percussions. I know that. We're tribal. We love to dance. It's in our blood. It's in our spirit. Turn the damn words off because they need to shut up. Disrespecting our women like that, man. I'll be ready to choke these dudes, man. I'm so sick of them, bruh. I don't understand why we tolerate. If I could form an army, that's who I would attack first. These football players running around, smacking our women, treating them like they ain't nothing. These basket, all of them, man. I don't have no love for none of them. None of them. Because I know you selling yourself. And you always, and next thing, you, first thing they want to do when you try to put the pressure on them to help black folk is that they start going and helping Africa. What the hell?
Right.
That's a whole continent of over 50 countries. You can't even help this continent of states. You ever hear the rag the richest story? Like, if it wasn't for NASA giving me a chance to play ball, I would never got out the hood. Man, shut up, man. You still rags. You ain't rich. Money is free. Freedom costs you, punk asses. Money is, I'm going to repeat that. Money is free. Freedom costs you. You have to put in that work. Anybody, they give us all the money we want. They give us all the sex we want, all of the, all, anything we want that ain't good for us, we can, it's a damn free-for-all. You name it, if it's bad for you, we have, it's unlimited. You want all the liquor you can get. They'll drop the prices. It don't matter. All the cigarettes we want, all the weed we can get, all the guns we can get, all the sex we can have. But how much, when we start asking for manufacturing rights to keep our patents, even if we work for you, if we create something, we have to have our own factories to patent our own blueprints. We're creators, but we're creating for them, and they're taking our patents. They're taking our patents and utilizing it to manufacture their things. We need to, when we start talking about that, then there's a problem. Oh, let's go back to Bowman. Let's go back to being charity cases. I'm telling you, brother, what I'm teaching is from the direct instruction of black women. Okay. Is somebody calling in?
It sounds like somebody chimed in. Heard a voice.
Yeah, because we going in. We going in. You know what I mean?
That's
and
right.
If they ain't ready to talk, y'all jump in. It's like the sisters do, the double dutch. You gotta have to just jump in. I ain't organized yet.
I'm chilling, and you know me, Mike. We got love for each other. I've been on the line just listening. Last time I overtook the conversation, so I decided to put it on mute. But I can talk if I wanted to because I pushed one.
You can push one.
Hey.
Hello.
No, I'm the conscious one that doesn't exist except for in my own universe, but it works really well for me. But I'm here because I love all of us, and I'm the one that doesn't care if you believe in me.
This got to be
Sister Cheryl,
ain't it?
Yes, it is. You know the only and the one.
I already know how you talk. I already know your language.
I can't get away with nothing when it comes to this world.
Right.
Hi, everybody.
Even if y'all sound
everyone?
Like, I know your teachings. I know how you talk.
So I said I'm coming in as the conscious one. That's my own universe. So you already know where I am with it. And I'm just listening this time because last time I did, I don't know, quite a bit of talking, which is what I can do. So this time I'm just hearing where everybody's coming from because, like I said before, I love everybody. I don't care what you got, what you bring. If you got melanin, we can work this out. We're bringing the village back.
Right.
Well, I don't know how you work in the spiritual realm. Prayer or whatever you use, you're going to have to do that with me. I don't love them all. I'm ready to choke shit out of some people.
Seriously, though, like I told you before, the village needs everybody's talent. And back in our tribal days, which you do at least acknowledge, there was the doctor that you could go to when something wasn't quite feeling right, that pulled a bush, mixed a couple of things together and said a few words and sent you on your way feeling 100%. So that's all part of the village. And because our greatness is so fragmented and so scattered across the globe, we need each other to put it all back together again. So believe it or not, even those that you see that give reverence, not worship, but give reverence to their deceased ancestors, where at least I know I'm connected to some power because of what they've done in order for me to be here, I pull from that. And believe me when I tell you I make it happen, in this white world where literally they breathe the same chemtrail air, get offered the same GMO foods, and drink the same toxic fluoridated water, I'm making it happen. I get it. I understand where everything's coming from, and I see how it's designed. I see how it's designed to literally tag, watch, label, and just form groups of people that they feel are anti the system, which is what we would be considered. But nonetheless, because I have no fear, not even death, there is nothing that's going to stop this. Got that? Nothing. It's in movement, it's energy, and it's going. It's happening. That's why I tuned in, woke up from my nap just for that. Because guess what? I'm off on a paid day because that's what this system gets to offer you if you have a career where you're making it happen, and I do.
There you go.
So, hey, I don't have.
It's me from the city of L.A. where the sun is shining and everything's bright. They left us alone with the sky for a minute, just a minute.
You like the conscious tickle me Elmo type.
Yeah, that's right, because it's all energy. I'm telling you, I ride on that positive wave, though, Mike. Seriously, I don't have anything to
do. I know you do, but it's like sometimes I ain't in the mood for it.
Yeah,
I love you,
Jeff.
You know I do. I mean, some people need that. I'm tired. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to get out here and bang. I bang on this beast, and I'm not talking about some radical. Now, I'm not talking about in a radical form. I'm talking about in building a home front for ourselves to defend. Then I want to get radical. I want to get radical in building. I want to obtain land. I love to have. You know what? I'd love to be in a trailer park community of all black people, and we had our own school in there, and we had our own store in there, and we'll grow from that. I mean, it's a start. I mean, we started off in these projects they built for us. We started off when they tore down Black Wall Street. We were living in tent cities. I mean, I don't understand why everybody, when I think it's because when you think of trailer park, maybe I need a new name for it. But when
they're
you think
modular
of,
homes is what they are.
Right.
They look exactly like
that.
Mansions, some of them, except they don't roll. So, yeah, it's a different, it's a whole different, entirely different concept. When you're thinking of trailer park, you think of trash and you think of white people. At least I do. I don't know what you guys think of. But
right,
I think
right,
trailer
right.
park trash, white folks that didn't make it in the land that was designed for them to. So maybe that's it, modular homes.
I don't care what we call it. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want to wake up and hug my neighbor and say, good morning, how y'all doing, and hug the kids, and they're going to a school all together learning about who we are, where we come from, our mathematics, our leaders, and how we can build and work together, our management skills. I hate that they put us on these drugs, put these drugs in our community, then send us to their organizations to get healed. It's insane to me. I'd love to have just, if I was to just leave all this alone, I would have a drug rehab center. That's my next goal if I can't get this. Because I'm sick of our alternatives for healing comes from them. And I'm not accepting this AA crap where you're always a drunk, you're always a fight. No.
Neither am I.
That's for them. We can overcome our ailments because we're self-healing. We just have to be in the right environment to self-heal. We do better by self-healing ourselves. See, they have no, like my brother said, they're a natural being, so they have no real cure for anything. I mean, the reason why we have to get these immunizations to keep from getting sick from them. I don't understand how we're the carriers of all their sicknesses. That's because they're focusing in and targeting us. If you can put people in one area and control their resources, you can put things into their water system. You can put things into their foods.
Can I give you one more that'll help out on that same note? How about that club card that every time you scan? How about that barcode on there that relates exactly to your receipt? How about they can turn on just your receipt? Okay, go ahead. Continue.
Well, that is our identity. We are all drones. We are all part of this process. But instead, we should build to be a process of our own progress. And I'm sick of us saying that we're a part of them. I'm going to mention all the things I hate. First of all, I hate groupies, and I hate people who call themselves us. And we, and they use terms like, we should have never bombed Japan. What the hell are you talking about, we? I didn't bomb Japan. I'm tired of this we stuff. I'm tired of my money and this our money. We don't have no ownership to none of it. You could put Harriet Tubman on a $20 bill, but that don't make that us. That's not us. Harriet Tubman was not about currency. She was about freedom. And I don't want to talk about nothing but that. Like I told my
freedom means that we just have to move forward. I mean, honestly, seriously, if you really look at things the way they are currently, each one of us has something that we can add. Not just because I'm conscious, but I have skills. Otherwise, I wouldn't be making money where I could sit home today and Tuesday and have a 5-dayer and not like everybody else's 3-dayer. But anyway, stretching those vacation days because I have them. But in the meantime of that, literally, I swear, the only thing that I can see that really would work for us, Mike, is unity. That's it. That's the only thing that we haven't done. And it's not unity based on anything other than we black. You know, we got to work with that because that's the only thing that hasn't been worked for. And we're the only group that literally never focuses on that. And what happens is religion torpedoes it because it connects us to something that is really non-existent. You know, and I don't say this out of disrespect. I say it out of mere disdain for the mere fact that everything that is religious has to do with the extermination of our people. So we have to go back to the core of where this all started. And once after you retrace your roots, which is what we have done, not like the root series where we started as slaves, because that's bullshit too. Our story started in the middle for all of the world to see. It never showcased us in our true glory because mainstream media will never finance that. And a typical example of that would be the video, Remember the Time. Michael Jackson had to pay for that out of his own pocket because they will never show our greatness in that light with an all-black cast, never. So those types of things they don't show, which is why we have to teach our own who they are. I saw the other day on the news, which I rarely watch, but it was meant for me to catch the glimpse of this black kid saying, 11 years old, his teacher called him a slave and because he didn't have a book. Now, first of all, the first thing I capped on was not just the mere fact that he called him a slave, but why didn't he have a book? Because the white kids that I know that go to school in Santa Clarita have two sets of books. Guess what? One set stays at the school and the other set stays at home. Guess what that does? It reduces the load on your back from lugging extra books in your backpack all day. So this kid in Moreno Valley didn't have a book, asked the teacher for a book, and the teacher told him to sit down, slave. The kid had to tell him, I'm not a slave. And then the teacher told him, no, I'm just playing, you know, go back and sit down, slave, and repeated it again, to which the child again stood up and declared that he was not a slave. Instead of accepting it, which is what the teacher would have wanted him to do, but he made a big deal about it like he should have. So, two things. He didn't have a book, and the teacher still thinks he's a slave. There's the problems. So that's why we have to teach our own. If he didn't know who he was, he would have left feeling in despair because it's embarrassing, one, because he was in front of the whole class, not even singled out on the side, you're a slave. No, he was bold enough to say that in the entire class.
He can stand up for himself. I'm going to put a knot on your head.
That he could do that.
He can
get
stand
away
up
with
for
it shows their mentality for
Listen,
our kids. So
he can stand up for himself, and he should, but the truth is the light. And the truth is the light, and the reason why that teacher felt even comfortable with saying that is because that's how we behave.
Exactly.
And that's what we allow ourselves to, that's how we conduct ourselves. So that
but
teacher.
But Mike, right, let me correct that too, because that's how they want you to think. The people that I know and the people that I have influence in and like around are not like that. You know, they don't tell our statistics accurately. They don't tell that there are more black men that have graduated from college that there are, than there are currently incarcerated. Because even the president lied. Obama made that same statement that we had to do something to help these brothers that's in prison, that, you know, there's more of them that great. He lied. The statistics is actually the opposite, and it's been proven. But they don't boast our statistics that way because they want everybody to think of us as being the problem. So since they think we're the problem, we're our own solution because it's never going to come from anything that they do, which means if we don't gel together, there will be no us because the goal has never changed, is to eliminate black from the face of the earth, even though the sun loves us. Even though you're in where you are and you're going to see how it's going to be when you're baking out there, it still will love you. You're not going to die for them. Well, they could die if they ain't suntanned down with that bathing stuff that they have to use. You know, that SPF 30 stuff. The sun doesn't, we don't need all that. We really don't. Even you.
Mr. Cheryl, we're out of time. I want to thank you for calling again. I look forward. I invite you to every time I'm on here. You know
thank
I'm
you, Mike.
Because I love what you do. Honestly, I hate that I have to hear it, but I need it. You know how I can be hard headed sometimes and act like.
Yeah, I know. That's why I always make sure that I swear I really want it. I got to call Ed. I got to be there with Mike. Oh, I'm with us. It's us.
Hey.
It ain't we. It's us. It's us.
Right. So we've been off the air for like 15 minutes or so. But what I want to say is, and before I hang up, is we, even though we're thirsty, we should not draw water from muddy waters. Even though our thirst is quenched, we still don't see the toxins or the bacteria within that's rotting us from the inside. So even though someone may tell the truth, if they're not living it, we have to hold them accountable. I don't listen to anyone, even if they're telling the truth, if they're not living it. Because there's too many sources of the truth to where we don't have to follow false indoctrinations. I don't like being baited, and I think it's all a bait. They bait us with the truth and reel us into a boat of lies. They surround the truth with lies. And this must stop, because I hear a lot of brothers saying, we need, oh, well, I just pick the bone and leave the meat. Nah, I leave that carcass to rot. I don't want its flesh. I don't want nothing it has to offer. With that being said, I'm out of here. Everybody have a blessed evening. Enjoy your weekend. Love you all. Peace and good night.
Love you too. Peace and light.
Good night.